If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Easter is the greatest feast in the Christian calendar. For Catholics, this Easter Sunday comes at an end of 40 days of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. It's also a time of renewal. Now, our tradition continues as we invite His Eminence, Cardinal Blaise Supich, who serves over 2.4 million Catholics in Chicago, to our show. Good afternoon, Cardinal.
Good afternoon, Dave. Good to be with you. Happy Easter.
So tonight is the Easter Vigil, and of course, Easter Sunday tomorrow. What are the plans today and Sunday at Holy Name Cathedral?
Well, we have the Vigil Mass with a number of baptisms and people coming into full communion with the Church. That starts at 8 o'clock, and that usually runs a couple of hours because we do a number of readings from the Hebrew Bible and also of the Christian New Testament.
There's a word that we use to talk about the last few days, and that is the Triduum. And can you explain to folks what that all encompasses?
Well, it, of course, comes from the word tri, or the 3 days, in which we have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with the vigil leading up to Easter. And really, it those 3 days were the earliest Lenten season of the first Christian church in Jerusalem. We know that from documents. And then it expanded to 3 weeks, and then finally over 40 days. So those 3 days before Easter represent and put us in contact with the earliest Christian church.
There's also a very cool tradition that there is with all the priests, or many of the priests in the Archdiocese, and that's the Chrism Mass that happened earlier in the week.
Right. We do that on Tuesday. It is usually scheduled in the Roman calendar on Thursday, but since our men are busy getting ready for their parishes, we back it up and put it on Tuesday. And it's an opportunity for us to bless the oils that are going to be used for the rest of the year, the sacraments, but also for the priest to come together and express once again their promises that they made on the day of ordination.
Well, I hope to see young families attend the Easter Masses this weekend, specifically those who send their children to Catholic schools, CCD, a religious education program. And if you're making that commitment as a family and a fiscal commitment to get your kids a Catholic education, that experience should start on Sunday, right?
Exactly. I think, in fact, every Sunday is a celebration of Easter. This is a great Sunday, and every Sunday is a little Easter. So I think it's an opportunity to listen to the longing in our heart for an opportunity to praise God, but also to get some rest. And that's what the day of rest is about, and coming together in the day of the resurrection.
You know, I always hope that, like on Easter Sunday and on Christmas Day, you know, it's a great marketing tool to be standing at the pulpit on the altar to everybody who's attended, because as we all know, it's a full house, obviously, on Easter and Christmas. But, you know, it's such a great opportunity to tell the folks, you can come every week. We're open. We're open every Sunday, right?
And the thing is, what's wonderful about coming together every week is that we find a supportive community. Life is so very difficult. We have a lot of challenges. Parents do. And they need the community support in order to take up the responsibilities of parenting children.
You know, the Renew My Church project, which just wrapped, you know, it really did, take on the issues and challenges in the Catholic Church. You know, it's the only way to make sustainable change in each community and bring people together and make each parish stronger and work together in new ways. You know, there's got to be progress made. And that is really the results of what we're living with and moving forward with from the project that you started when you first got to Chicago.
Yes, and we're in the phase right now in which we're looking for ways in which the parishes can be vibrant, vital, and sustainable long term. And the people who really are stepping forward are all the lay leaders in our parishes with the guidance of their pastors who are working hard to do this. So it is a new moment. It's an opportunity for communities to come together, and especially if they've been combined with other communities. We're finding great success in people's awareness that the church is bigger than their own individual parish that they grew up in. They're seeing that there is a way forward in which they can make new friends in this new community that they belong to.
Well, and there's greater success in numbers. You know, I'm at St. Julianne on the northwest side of Chicago, and we have some pretty strong parishes over here, but that doesn't mean we can't work together on projects and so forth. And, you know, and I'm very involved in my church, but I've realized, you know, sometimes it's just finding the right person and picking up the phone and collaborating together on something new, right?
Exactly. And I think we're only limited by our imagination of the good that we can do. And that's what we're asking people to bring forward. And it's in line with what Pope Francis is doing in the Universal Church, of saying that we have to be a church that walks together, or a synodal church, and to make sure that no one is excluded. And we look for ways in which we can harness the energy and faith of every individual who is a part of the community life.
You know, that's a great transition. I was reading an interview with you recently about church teaching and bringing people together, stating that the concepts present in church teaching can be preserved even while altering language that has been written for years to make it less cold, calculated, harsh language that in some ways is a door closer. And instead, there needs to be some healing. Please expand on that a little bit.
Well, yes, I think that, you know, we know that language does make a difference in how we express ourselves. And if in fact, we say things in such a way that sends a message that people are automatically excluded and not cared for, that is a door closer. So we have to make sure that we look for ways in which people do respond to the grace that's working in their life and not be an obstacle to that grace, but rather facilitate how it can grow. And it doesn't mean that people have to be perfect to it. None of us are perfect. In fact, we begin every Mass by acknowledging in a public way that we're all sinners. But what's important is to make space in the community for everybody.
Yeah, we have to make sure every voice is heard, and if those that have not been heard, be heard, right?
Exactly, and I think to make sure that we cannot be afraid of different viewpoints. We have to look for a creative way in which we allow, almost creating a sense that conversation is an art form, in which we look for the best way to use the gifts and talents and the voices of everybody. Maybe not in a way that they originally planned, but in a way that does enhance the life of the church because of that great diversity.
Well, and with that said, you just put out parish surveys to the entire archdiocese that ended before Holy Week. So how do you see that information being discerned and reviewed?
Well, that's part of our effort to help our priests look for ways in which they can view their ministry in terms of ongoing formation. That coincides with an effort that we're doing right now to survey our priests that helps identify the strengths and challenges in their priesthood so that we can have a real growth plan for each one of them. And the participation of the lay people in that work is also very important because they can give us an idea of how we come across and what works and what doesn't work. So that is a key part of going forward. It's an assessment in which we look at the gifts and talents of our leaders, but also the needs of our people.
Yeah, I love that was a great process to go through, no question. A few years ago, and I'm going to ask you this question, Pope Francis established a commission to study whether the church had ever admitted women to the diaconate. And the findings, he said at the time, would help him discern whether to restore that practice, which could open up leadership positions for women in the church. And with the priest shortages plaguing the world, do you know, are we coming any closer to a decision on that?
Well, I know that he did receive a report, and I guess at this time he didn't feel as though there was compelling evidence to move forward. I don't know too much about that, but it doesn't seem that he is in a position to move forward. But I would say this, it's important to keep in mind that women have to be a part of leadership positions in the church.
Absolutely.
Just look at what he has done recently. He has appointed women in high-level positions in the Vatican. And of course, in our archdiocese, we have very competent women who have senior leadership roles in the archdiocese, from a CEO, a woman who really runs the archdiocese on a day-to-day basis, but also in our communication staff and other people who are in leadership positions. So we need to use the talents of gifted people, and I think we're moving in that direction in a very forceful way.
Well, I was going to say, too, I think what I've learned about Pope Francis is that he's very methodical. And he does not make quick decisions, and he likes to think things through, which is a good thing, because we have so many, you know, outside of the world of a religion and the Catholic faith, you know, politicians, so forth, they make very quick decisions. And I think he's just a little more methodical and wants to take the time to really study and discern before he makes big decisions.
Well, you have to keep in mind he's a Jesuit, and the way of Ignatius Loyola is to discern in a way that allows us to take into consideration the reality that faces us, but also what the will of God is. And that's why he does take time, because discernment cannot be a snap judgment. It has to take its time.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Pope joked to the media last week that he was still alive when he left the hospital last week, and I saw him, I saw him celebrating Holy Week, and I'm glad he's got a great sense of humor. But you know, how is he doing? From what you hear,
well, from what I see, you know, there he did receive some very important treatment there, some antibacterial injections that seemed to turn things around for him very quickly. But you know, he's 86 years old. He has to take care of his health, but he works so very hard. I mean, he's out there every day. Just look at his schedule on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
It's something I could not keep up with.
Yeah, no question. Well, I'm good to hear that he's in better shape. We are talking to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. And when we come back, His Eminence will share his Easter message of peace. Right after this on 720 WGN. Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. So after all the masses on Sunday, do you get to go and do some brunch, dinner with friends, family? What's the rest of the day like for you?
Well, I do have the vigil the night before, and so I'll get to bed late. And then I'm going to a parish early in the morning for a 6 o'clock mass. There's a procession at 5:30. And it's going to be, I think, a wonderful opportunity for us to come together.
So Easter is Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, and I invite Cardinal Supich in advance of this special day to share his message of hope and peace for the season throughout the year. Cardinal Supich?
You know, Dave, the story and reality of Easter has the power to break through every human experience that leaves us feeling entombed and trapped. We all know the dark places of sin and division in society, of economic uncertainty, violence, threats to our health and security, addictions, failed relationships, and most tellingly, a lack of love. A natural reaction is to be afraid, a fear that can easily turn into anger, and anger into desperation, and desperation that turns into resignation because no solutions are in sight. For us, people of faith, people of Easter, the story unfolds differently. We may feel as keenly as anyone else the threat of an enveloping darkness. We believe that Christ has risen from the dead. He has broken the bonds of sin and death. And even more, he claims us as his own. His resurrection is our victory. So let us walk confidently with him and each other, putting aside our fears and trusting that with him, we are on the road that leads to hope, to freedom, and the promise of new life. A blessed Easter to you all.
Thank you, Cardinal Supich. Please be well. Happy Easter to you. And please continue to pray for the people of Chicagoland. And I hope to see you soon.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Cardinal Blaise Supich, Archbishop of Chicago. News is next here on 720 WGN.